From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series in the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The text is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. As he concludes a message called The Spirit's Primary Work in the Christian, Dr. Cairns has been explaining what the things God has given to us consist of, and how the Holy Spirit makes these things real in the experience of God's people. In addition, the text declares the importance of the mind of the saints, the urgency of filling our minds with Christ. Finally, we'll see that the means of doing this is by the diligent use and study of the Scriptures. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, an understanding of this text is absolutely vital to everything in the Christian life. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to call attention to his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about knowing how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. Today he speaks of the truth that Christ once appeared.
You know the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Unfortunately, that's rather true, and we treat contemptibly some of the most precious things just because we have become over familiar with them. Certainly, I find that familiarity with some of the great statements of Scripture often blinds people to their stupendous meaning. For example, think of this. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, Christ hath once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now let that sink in. That is a stupendous statement. Christ hath once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There are people who say, oh, I know that. You're not telling me anything new. I know that Christ came. I know that he sacrificed himself. I know that he died and that he rose again. I know that he did all this out of love for sinners. People will say that and yet then dismiss it as if they had just said, I know that the mall opens at 10 o'clock and closes at 9 o'clock. No big deal. They can say, I know this about Christ, and then dismiss it. What's happening? Familiarity is breeding contempt. Now here's an amazing and yet a glorious thing. There are parts of the world today where people are giving anything, sometimes risking their lives, just to get their hands on a Bible, just to be able to read a statement like this for themselves. There are people who are hearing this for the very first time, and it's opening their eyes and their hearts and their minds, and they are rejoicing to hear of such love in God for sinners such as they are, and they open their hearts to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm delighted to know that. I have a friend who is doing a work with our denomination in Nepal, in a country that until recently was shut to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A young man there just a few years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, was saved by the grace of God, had a burden to take the gospel that had liberated him up into the villages of his country, villages that are largely neglected. And in he went. In the last 18 months, 2 years, he has seen some 2,000 people gladly embrace Christ. They hear this for the first time, and it is stupendous news. And yet here in the West, there are people whose familiarity has made them treat this truth with utter contempt. My friend, let me tell you, if you contemn the truth of the gospel, there will come a day when the God who sent that gospel will contemn you. If you dismiss his Christ, he will dismiss you. Oh, I trust that wherever you are today, you will not allow familiarity with the gospel message to lead you to treat it with contempt. Never lose the newness and the wonder and the awe of these great gospel truths, recognizing that Christ once appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Make sure you bow the knee, thank him for ever coming to save a sinner like you, and ask him to enter into your heart and your life as your Savior and your Lord.
Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Ooh, it was wonderful, blessed be his name, seeking for me,
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You are sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Under the control of the Spirit of God, then we discern, or we properly judge, or appreciate in their proper light, and at their proper worth, the things of God. Now this points to the trouble with many Christians. Spiritual things are discerned, they are appreciated, they are loved, they are enjoyed by spiritual people. That's what Paul's saying. The trouble with so many Christians, he goes on to say in chapter 3 verse 1 is, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. And as the word spiritual means under the active dominion and control of the Spirit of God, the word carnal means under the active control and dominion of the flesh. And here's the trouble with so many Christians. Now let's face this, and I want to be very, very frank with you today. There are Christians who can spend hours reading anything but the Bible. And their mind is filled with just about every strand of garbage and filth that human writings can produce. Sometimes it's academic. Sometimes it's popular. But I want to tell you that when God's people get their minds on the literature of the world to the exclusion of the literature of grace, then they are going to be in trouble, because they will come under the control and the dominion of the flesh. Then what about Christians who seem to have no conscience about what their eyes behold? They can sit for
4 or 5 hours a day in front of a television screen. And they can take in everything. Soap operas, games, I don't know what all. Many of them even get into the various movie channels where they in their own homes sit and look at things that only the filthiest of debauchees would dare to walk in and look at in a public cinema. Now, I'm talking honestly to you today, and I think if you were to go around fundamentalist churches, you would be amazed at the number of Christians who are filling their mind with abject filth. Not just questionable things. Now, questionable things should still be excluded. I remember a preacher giving an example. He said it came from the life of Spurgeon. I personally haven't read it in any of Spurgeon's life stories, but apocryphal or not, it certainly told the truth. That Spurgeon was getting ready to preach one day, and he was looking for his pocket handkerchief, and he pulled this out, and he said to his wife, he said, "Is this clean?" And she said, "If it's doubtful, it's dirty." And there's a lot of truth in that. But I'm not merely talking about questionable things. I'm talking about Christians who are sitting, reveling in downright ungodliness. Downright filthiness. My, they open their mind, they open their heart, they open their home, and in flows that mighty foul stream of devilish ungodliness. And this is why they're not enjoying Christ. This is why they are not able to appreciate the gospel. And this is why there could be people in this meeting this morning, and they can sit and they can say, "I don't know what this fellow's talking about." Because they're under the control of the flesh. Now, I want to be very honest with you. From 1 Corinthians 3:1, I can say, there are brethren who are carnal. There are brethren who are carnal. Genuinely see people and they're carnal. But also, my friend, I can say, from Paul's strong words to the Romans, and I want you to get this very, very clearly, that if you live after the flesh, you will die. And it's not talking about metaphorical death. It's talking about hell's death. And I say this to you honestly. There is such a thing as a carnal Christian, but I believe that the vast majority of people who pass as carnal Christians are carnal and unsaved. They were never Christians. It's a serious business. Oh, a Christian temporarily can get sidetracked and the old flesh can rise up and he can come under the awful whip and lash of the flesh and he'll be as miserable as sin can make him. He must get back to Christ. I come back to this. If you live continually, habitually, easily, happily, contentedly, if you live after the flesh, you will die. You're not saved. This is the trouble. I wonder where your mind is today. Have you the mind of a saint? Have you a mind that yearns for a knowledge of Jesus Christ? Have you a mind that the Holy Ghost has opened up to the light of the gospel in that initial reception of Christ into your heart? Have you a mind that is now deploring its own weakness, its own failure, and yearning for so much more of the Spirit of Christ?
the mind of the saints.
Time forbids me to pursue that. A lot more I'd like to say about it.
But how do we get this mind? Here's the ministry of the Spirit, given that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Here's the mind of the saints, a mind that's under His control, that is receiving His light and His glory. How do we bring these two things together? What are the means that the Holy Spirit uses? Well, the means are the means of the Scriptures. Look at verse 13. Which things we speak. Paul is saying, I am giving to you the things that the Spirit has given to me. Look at verse 15. He that is spiritual discerneth or judgeth all things, even though he himself is not discerned or properly appreciated by men around him. He's going to appreciate the gospel no matter what they think about him. He's judging them. He's discerning them. Now let me ask you, where can you discern the things of God? Where can you judge, appreciate, study, and learn the things of the gospel? In that book, there is no substitute for personal study of and submission to the written Word of God. Let me repeat it. I want you never to forget it. Your whole future as a Christian is going to depend on it. There is no substitute for your personal study of God's Word and your personal submission to God's Word. So many Christians take the brains that God has given them, and I'm talking deliberately about brains. I am placed in God's providence in a congregation of more educated people, more clever people, more intelligent, some, and I don't mean this facetiously, some in the realm of genius than most preachers are. And yet so many of God's people use their brains for everything but the study of God's Word. They use their time for everything but the study of God's Word. They use their talents for everything but the study of God's Word. There is no substitute for your study of the Scriptures. Do not for a moment fool yourself that you can come here on a Sabbath morning and even in a lengthy sermon of mine get enough that's going to do you all week. It's not going to work that way. Force-fed Christians are never strong. There must be the getting alone with God over the open page of God's Word. How do you study the Bible? The best way to study the Bible is either literally or spiritually on your knees in the attitude of prayer. To study the Scriptures with the cry to God Almighty that He would give you His Holy Spirit to show you Christ in this blessed book. For every situation of your life and mine, there is something revealed in this book that is freely given to us of God. For every situation. Let's therefore ask for the Holy Spirit just to show us this in God's Word. That's one of the most thrilling things in life. When you are in the valley, when the words of man can have little or no effect, when you're cut off from human help, you're right there in the valley, and you're alone with God, and the Holy Spirit comes, and He makes Christ precious, and He shows you the particular provision that Christ has made for you in this situation. That's a school of experience that's so precious that nothing is able to take its place. In this way, we learn to live in the light of the gospel. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon our minds through the means of Scripture, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.